And good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, May the 31st, 2016, last day of May 2016. Tomorrow we head into June, 1:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope everybody had a wonderful, wonderful Memorial Day. I did, and I hope at some point everybody paid their respects to all the veterans, all the bravest of the brave, who lost their lives defending this country, and who have passed away since defending this country. One of the big news stories of the weekend happened right here in Ohio, down at the Cincinnati Zoo. People are still talking about it today. On Saturday, a three-year-old child fell into the area, the gorilla pit area. The gorilla had the boy by the ankle. I'm sure everybody has seen the video by now, dragging him up the stream. And as all of you know by now, the gorilla was shot and killed. All kinds of chaos has erupted. There are protests from people who say the gorilla should not have been killed. People are directing things toward the mother. Some people, like Jack Hanna, our own director emeritus here at the Columbus Zoo, have come out and said they did the right thing by shooting the gorilla. There's only one man I know who we could go to who could give us an accurate and depictable answer on this. He's one of my favorite guests. We haven't had him on in a while, but I'm so glad he's back today. Legendary zoologist, former host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Jim Fowler. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Scott. I'm still around.
What have you been up to before we get into this?
Well, you know, my passion is designing new kinds of wildlife parks, they're not zoos, that help reconnect families and children with the world of nature. One of our biggest challenges today is to make the world of nature important to humans.
You know, Jim, I remember a conversation we had maybe about a year ago where you said one of the things that, I don't want to misquote you, so if I'm saying this wrong, let me know. One of the things you felt was wrong was that people feel comfortable, a little too comfortable, being around animals that maybe they shouldn't.
I don't think I ever said they felt too comfortable, but that's something else. No, my biggest problem is that the media and a lot of people on the air are bad-mouthing animals and making it look like animals are dangerous to humans. Hey man, animals aren't the thing that's hurting humans. It's so rare, it hardly ever, it doesn't even show up on the blip. Last year in America, there were 82,000 people were maimed by automated lawnmowers, motorized lawnmowers. There were 2,000 children killed by motorized lawnmowers, and the media doesn't even talk about it. That's what's hurting people. I'm starting an organization, and if a lawnmower gets out of your backyard, we're going to shoot it with a shotgun and put it on the wall.
Well, you know,
they're dangerous.
It is interesting, and maybe that's what the quote I was looking for is, that maybe the media has dramatized this a little too much.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, this
and
being,
you know, the biggest problem is we humans are programmed genetically to be horrified by being bitten or clawed. That has one of the reasons why all the things are being reacted with the gorilla situation. We've been programmed genetically. It was one time in our background, in our history, that we were food. We were lunch for some of the animals like the cave bears and the saber-toothed tigers, and it's in our system. Being bitten or clawed will force us into shock, and that's a dangerous situation. Anyway, that's a whole other subject, but it has a lot to do with what happened with the gorilla.
Well, that being said, Jim, I'm sure you've seen the video by now. When you saw the video as a zoologist, what did you see happening?
Well, it's a tough situation. There's no denying that. I would have done everything to try to keep from killing the gorilla, but on the other hand, it's obvious that they had to kill a gorilla because of the liability. If that gorilla had hurt the kid, they would have been liable for a tremendous amount of money. But there's something else going on, too. It probably took 10 minutes once that kid fell in there, probably took about 10 minutes for the emergency team to get there. The question is, what was the gorilla doing in the meantime? Was he aggressive at the kid? You said he was pulling the kid away. But what there are two options. I'm not going to tell you because it's their business about what they do. But there are two options. One is watch the gorilla, and if it starts getting aggressive to the kid, then shoot it. But give the gorilla a chance to do something that doesn't harm the kid first. I don't know. They probably did that. I don't know the situation. But I do know that those people at the Cincinnati Zoo are very responsible people. But there's another situation that you got to look at. Just between you and me, if we're smart enough to design a habitat that a gorilla can't get out of, we should also be smart enough to design a habitat that nobody can fall into, that a human can't get to. Now, in the old days, when they designed gorilla habitats, they weren't thinking about anybody going across a fence or dropping into a moat. What should have been there with a gorilla is an overhang. Just as you come to the edge of the moat, there should be an angle of wire. It's called an overhang, and it's impossible for anybody to fall over this overhang. That's what you call designing a habitat so people can't get in, which is as important as designing one that gorillas can't get out of. Now, I don't know that situation that well, so it's hard for me to judge it, but obviously, I'm sure they felt like that they should try everything possible before killing the gorillas. There are some people that pose as wildlife experts that comment on this, and it's always, they always say, kill the animals. Do you remember when the tigers got out in Ohio?
I remember that.
There were certain people said, go out and kill them. If they had put food rewards back in the holding areas, those cats would have probably gone right back in the holding area. So all my attitude is, you got to try everything not to kill the animals. Gorillas are magnificent animals. They're not a heck of them left, and we've got to start being more successful breeding them in out of the wild. I feel sorry for Thane and the various people at the zoo, because that's a tough decision to make, and I'm sure that they were trying to watch the gorilla, but I have not heard anybody say the gorilla was aggressive toward the child. Do you know about that?
I haven't heard anything like that. The only thing I've heard people talking about this morning is, now obviously they do have tranquilizer darts, but the theory was, what I've heard, was if they would have fired one of those, they would have been afraid that would have upset the gorilla, and
yeah,
it would have hurt the child, and it would have taken too long to sedate the gorilla.
Well, that may be the case. There are some immobilizing darts that act pretty fast. But you know what? It's a tough decision, and I got to be careful judging a situation that I don't know that much about. But I do know how important it is for the media to stop talking about how dangerous animals are. You know, I saw a film just the other day on the television. It was about killing alligators in Louisiana. And you know what the narration was on Animal Planet? It said that the alligators had infected the waters around there. You know, alligators don't infect anything. Alligators are very, very important to our ecosystem. And anybody can go out and shoot an alligator. It doesn't take any work to do that. So what I'm saying is that we've got to stop thinking that we can just go out and kill everything we want to, because alligators are not the thing that's dangerous to us whatsoever, and yet they're presented that way on Animal Planet. I hope that we can start an organization that people like you and Animal Planet can go to see what's real and what isn't, what's fiction. Because right now, a lot of the stuff we see on television is absolute fiction. We're programming ourselves with fantasy rather than with reality.
That being said, Jim, when we think of gorilla, we think, not you, but people who are not familiar with animals because of television, we think this is a big 400-pound animal, and it's dangerous. Do you believe that there was a lot of danger there? You know gorillas. You've been around gorillas. Do you think the child was in a lot of danger?
Well, I suspect that the people involved felt the same way that I would. They would try to give the gorilla a chance, I'm sure. But also, they're facing tremendous litigation if anything had happened to that kid. And they have to consider things that I normally wouldn't necessarily be involved in deciding. So I'm sure Cincinnati had a lot of reasons what they did. But my concern is the gorilla first. You know, I wouldn't have let the gorilla hurt the kid. Don't get me wrong. But I would have given the gorilla a chance, probably a little bit more. I don't know. I can't judge it because I wasn't there.
From what you've seen on the video, did you see that the child was in any danger?
Well, here's the problem. When you bring an animal out of the wild and you put them in a confined area, and also they sometimes are grown up with humans, you know, you never know, because that animal can become very neurotic, and it's very hard to predict the behavior of an animal out of the wild. I have had gorillas charge me in the wild, and I knew what to do. I had a big gorilla up in Uganda come at me down a hill, beating his chest and throwing trees around, but I knew never to look him in the eye. So what happens if anybody out there that's listening to this, if you're in gorilla country, if a gorilla comes after you, put your head down and don't look it in the eye. Primates have a little bit of a problem when you have eye contact. And don't tell me that we humans don't have that too. Sometimes your teacher in school or your parents, you do something wrong and you don't want to look them in the eye. Well, don't look a big gorilla in the eye in the wild. That gorilla stood 2 feet from me, all bristled up. I didn't move. I didn't look at it. And then it suddenly went back uphill, started eating wild bamboo. So I've been eating a lot of wild bamboo since then. But a wild gorilla, I know what to do, but one that's out of the wild in a zoological park, sometimes they're a little bit neurotic, if you know what I mean.
You know, Jim, obviously we've talked about why a tranquilizer dart would not have worked. Wouldn't there have been anybody at that zoo who could have gone into the area? I mean, obviously there have been people in that area at some point, I'm sure, to distract the gorilla away from the child. Is there any way to do that?
Well, there could be. You know, we are Monday morning quarterbacks on this one. What we have to do in the future in the zoological park is plan for this. And you're absolutely right. There ought to be a routine those gorillas are trained to come to if something like this happened.
It's very interesting because our director emeritus of the Columbus Zoo, Jack Hanna, went on CBS this morning, and this is what he said. This was his quote. He said, "I agree 1,000% with the Cincinnati Zoo's officials to take out the gorilla before he harmed the unarmed child who had gone under the railing, though through wires and over a wall before falling 10 to 15 feet into the moat in the gorilla's enclosure." Do you agree with that, Jim?
I don't agree with that. I think you can't just arbitrarily say you should get rid of the gorilla or those tigers that were in Ohio. No, you got to try other things first. But the point is, you can't let that child be harmed. Why don't we start a program where the zoo designers, if they can design a habitat a gorilla can't get out of, they sure as heck can design one that a child can't fall into. And that's what we need to work at. That was not the proper exhibit to allow anybody to to get that close and possibly fall over into the moat. That's what I would look at. But, you know, we're the custodians of life on the planet. And if we're going to bring them, I believe very strongly that zoological parks serve a great service. Because if you don't look at something in the eye alive, why would you want to save it in the wild? There are only 2,000 tigers left in northern Assam, India. And if you never look a tiger in the eye, why would you want to save it? And that's the biggest problem facing us. So we need to learn about how to respect the natural world, why it's important to human beings, and we got to get on with it. And zoos play a very strong part. Zoos have got to stop just showing an animal to say, here's an animal and how amazing it is. They got to start that with human welfare. If a person goes through a zoological park, they should come out the other end understanding that the natural world is very, very important to human welfare. That's the message. And yet, there are very few organizations that are talking about that.
When somebody goes on television, like Jack Hanna did this morning, and makes a statement like that, because we started this conversation talking about how the media makes animals... Yeah. So when he goes on and says something like that, what does that do you think, to people who heard it?
Well, we got to be careful. I'm not blaming Jack for anything. He's done a good job in creating an audience and a name for himself. But we've got to be careful in adding fuel to the fire that animals are dangerous to humans. You know, there have been only a couple of attacks. Siegfried and Roy, the tiger grabbed him, and one up in Connecticut, some chimp bit something from his face. That's been on television for years. But we've got to start learning that it's not animals that we have to be afraid of. I mean, I live in New York City, and boy, those taxi cabs are mean. But anyway, the point I'm saying is, we got to start looking at the natural world and animals as something that benefits us, not something we're afraid of.
Do you understand the point of view, Jim, that maybe the parents certainly had, but the people who shot it, that maybe it's not so much a liability issue, that, you know, the gorilla could have killed the child in an instant?
Yeah. Well, you're right, there was that possibility. But you also have to realize that it's much more of a possibility that on the way to the zoo, in the car, the kid would get killed. All I'm saying is you can't allow that kid to be harmed or killed. That's a decision the zoo had to make, and it's a tough decision. But let's try, first of all, to design habitats that a child can't fall into. And that's the first way to do it, because it's very, very important for people to be able to see a live gorilla. Now there's going to be a lot of talk about not showing gorillas in captivity. It's a serious situation. But we've got to be careful that when something like this happens, we don't blame the animal too much.
What is the truth about gorillas? You know gorillas, you've studied them. Are they dangerous?
Yeah.
What's the makeup of a gorilla?
I'll put it this way. A gorilla is extremely powerful. I was on a place in Rwanda once, and I know the photographer who was trying to film a gorilla up on top of a mountain, and he didn't know it, but the gorilla had been fighting with another gorilla. Well, you don't do that, because all of a sudden the gorillas turned on him and threw him over a cliff. It didn't kill him, but the point I'm saying is you don't get to mess around with two gorillas having a fight, the same as with human beings or with dogs. Sometimes if you get in the middle of a dog fight, they'll turn on you. But gorillas are generally very gentle. I've been with a family of gorillas where the young ones would come through a tree down and touch me on the head. And the big males and females in Rwanda, they were just sitting around there, you know, looking at us. They had been habituated by Diane Fossey. So there's a big, if you threaten a gorilla, you got to watch out. But most gorillas will, in the wild, will run away from you. Now, Freddy say that when you bring an animal out of the wild and put them in an enclosure, that they can very easily become a little bit neurotic, because the natural instinct is to have four or five different areas in your habitat that you can go to. One is to find food, the other is to rest, the other is to sleep. Just like in rooms in our house, a gorilla or an animal often will require the same thing in the wild. So if those things are available, and you don't pose a threat to them, most animals, I've even had lions try to come after me, and hey, but one thing don't mess around with is a leopard. I know I'm getting off the subject a little bit, but I've never had a gorilla in the wild come after me. Now, there was a gorilla in the Lincoln Park Zoo where Marlon Perkins was director, and his secretary fell in love with the gorilla and used to, at lunchtime, go back and give the gorilla something to eat. Well, the problem was she stuck her hand in the cage. The gorilla grabbed her arm and hurt her pretty badly. But that wasn't the gorilla's fault. You know, the gorilla didn't know it was hurting her. But anyway, she never got over that.
I can't.
If a gorilla gets hold of you, they're 10 times as strong as you think they're going to be. But anyway, I like gorillas. I'm a speaker, a spokesperson for the natural world. So I'm not going to judge what Cincinnati did. I know the people there, and they're very professional. But I just feel sorry that they had so little time to make a decision on that.
A lot of talk, Jim, has been made of the fact that... Well, let's start here, because I think this is one of the interesting points. Now, the child falls in, and the gorilla grabs a hold of it. Now, to my knowledge, the gorilla did not injure the child, and the gorilla was in there alone with the child for up to 10 minutes until the personnel got there from the zoo.
Yeah, they had to be.
So that being said, from the video you've seen, what was the gorilla doing? I mean, if the gorilla was angry or anything, why wouldn't it have killed the child immediately?
Well, first of all, I have not seen the video, but I believe what you're saying, because it would have taken quite a while for the emergency team to get there. And apparently no damage was done. In the past, there have been similar incidences where the gorilla actually picked up the child and took it back to the maintenance entrance and gave it back to the people. There have been situations like this. This is not the first time that's happened. But you can never judge or predict what can happen. I will be very agreeable with that. You've got to be prepared. Now, they must have thought that if the gorilla was going to harm the kid, they wouldn't have had time to take it out at that time. Or for some reason, whatever, liability, and there's so many factors they had to judge. But no, I agree that the gorilla probably, there was a good chance the gorilla wouldn't have done anything to the child.
The story that's in the USA Today today that Jack Hanna is quoted in, it says a 17-year-old 450-pound Western Lowland gorilla grabbed the boy and pulled him through the water, keeping the child close as onlookers screamed. That people were there screaming, could that have agitated the gorilla?
It would have agitated the gorilla. It could have agitated the boy a little bit. No, you know, that's the situation. I have not read that article, but that would have nothing to do with it, the people screaming.
This is interesting, because, and I think it's good that we get the truth out there, because in this article, and it's the first time you're reading it, but I'm going to quote, Jack Hanna's quoted in this again, and this is USA Today, which goes all over the country. It said, this is a quote from Jack Hanna. It says, they made the correct decision, he told CBS, adding that a shot from a tranquilizer gun might take up to 5 to 10 minutes to take effect, and it was clear to Hanna that the gorilla was already alarmed by the situation, and a tranquilizer shot would have aggravated him further. And his quote is, a human being is alive today because of the decision of the Cincinnati Zoo made. We'd be very, and he added, in the zoo's defense, he said, we'd be at the very top of safety. We can only do so much. What do? We can't protect everything all the time. You always have to watch children, is what he said.
Well, it should, the habitat, like I said, should have been designed with a chain, a bit of a chain link fence as a part of an overhang, so if anybody was on the top of the moat, they couldn't have fallen into it. But that's hindsight. Why don't we use the same designers who designed a habitat that the gorillas couldn't get out of? Why don't we also make them design a place that a kid can't fall into? That's very simple.
That is.
I'm a zoo designer. I should go up there and show them how to do it.
Well, I mean, Jim, but does something like this make you want to go to a place like that? Because once again, here's the media all over it today, and somebody like you going there, pointing something like this out, it does help sway it the other way.
Well, the point is, I don't know that situation well enough, and I'm not going to blame the Cincinnati Zoo. They're professionals. But if it were, from what I know, you know, maybe, perhaps we could have taken a little bit more time without the child being hurt. That's a tough decision. That's something that only they can make. But if I get a chance to go up there and talk to them, I'll definitely do it.
Can you take that time is the question. And I understand that all comes down to decisions. But as a zoologist, do you believe you can take that time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is my main mission today is to reconnect families and children with the world of nature. There are going to be some people that will say it's too dangerous to even have gorillas in zoos. And that's not true. You know, we have a certain group of people in this country who forced the circus to get rid of the elephants. Now, don't think that doesn't have something to do with this. Those elephants and people going to the circus and looking at the intelligence of an elephant, that's one of the few reasons why people care about elephants. If we make it impossible to see animals, we are going to not really care. Right now, most people don't really have on in their mind a concern for wildlife, wilderness, and open space. What we have to do is to get over this fact that somebody designed a habitat that a child could fall into. That was the mistake. And that we should keep the gorillas and keep showing them, not just to tell them this is a gorilla and how dangerous they look, but talk about why the gorillas are important to humanity and human welfare. There's a good reason why that is. So let's start talking about that and design some habitats that a kid, a three-year-old kid or a four-year-old kid can't fall into. We're that smart.
I would. Is there a way, though, God forbid, that somebody does get in the area with the gorilla, that you can handle the situation without it being such a liability, or the animal, or the child, or the person, for that matter, being hurt?
Well, you should be thinking about that. I don't know how many gorillas were in that exhibit, or I don't know anything about that. I think it was a fairly young gorilla from what I hear. But you need to think those things through before something happens, not after. And you got to be prepared. And you can do that. There are all kinds of ways that you can, if something like that happens, you know, you can protect yourself. You can have a person, you can have one of your keepers roll out there in a mobile cage and go right up to the gorilla and, you know, take the kid. There are all kinds of ways you can do it, but people are not prepared for something like that. That's the problem.
The interesting thing is a lot of this does revolve around media, and we're doing media right now. When Jack Hanna went out today, because he unfortunately or fortunately is the one doing the PR for this, I think because it happened in Ohio. He went out this morning in the USA Today and on the CBS Morning Show and says that they were 1,000% right, the zoo was, and that a tranquilizer dart would have only agitated the gorilla and it would have taken 5 to 10 minutes, is that good for the cause? Is that good?
Yeah.
Is it?
No, it's not good, but let me ask, you know, I know Jack Hanna quite well. He used to work for me, but some people have to ask, is Jack Hanna a real zoologist, or is he good working with animals and showing them to people and kids? But does he have a background as a zoologist? I don't know. I know he's a smart guy, but, you know, when you have a public stage, you've got to know, you have to have a very extensive knowledge of animal behavior before you speak out. You can't just go around saying animals are dangerous to humans.
When you were hosting Wild Kingdom, Jim, I'm sure you would have been called, much like Mr. Hanna was. If you were called this morning and put on the morning shows and in the USA Today, we know what Jack Hanna's answer was. As a zoologist who worked with Marlon Perkins, what would your answer have been?
Well, I'm still called on a lot of issues. In fact, I was telling you, I want to put an organization together that can talk about reality and the situation and not just fantasy. I want to get an organization you can come to if they want the real scoop. So you're asking me what the real scoop is, and you're absolutely right that we need to focus more on this. Even though a injury only happens extremely rarely, it gets on the media, gets on the Today Show, and we got to really know what we're talking about, because you can affect public attitudes both ways very quickly. I agree with you 100%, but I would go on the Today Show, and I would probably express, first of all, I would express confidence in the staff at Cincinnati. I know them. I would also point out I can't be a Monday morning quarterback, but I would also tell them what I know about gorillas, how to design a habitat, how to have a portable cage situation ready in there that you can jump into and go. You got to rehearse. You got to say, what if? What if a child fell in there? They should have known that a child could go over a little fence, through a hedge, and get to the edge of the moat. They should have known that, and they should have been prepared for it.
That being said, when the headline this morning is, because Jack Hanna is a big face out there right now, and the headline is, because I've seen it all over social media, Jack Hanna says they were 1,000% correct in killing the gorilla.
Yeah.
What does that make you feel?
Well, I would I don't know the situation well enough, but I would definitely have tried everything possible in the first place to make it so it couldn't happen. And secondly, I would have had equipment there that was emergency type equipment that we could have, somebody could have gone out to where the gorilla was. But thirdly, I would have observed the gorilla very carefully before it was shot. And they may have done this, I don't know. But those are the three steps that I would have taken. Now, if that gorilla started to harm the child, okay, then you had to probably kill it. But you also have to know whether a gorilla is harming something. There are other cases where a gorilla carried a boy, I think it was a boy, back to the maintenance door and handed it over to the zookeepers. There are all kinds of stories about people. In New York City, there was somebody who had too much to drink, got in with the polar bears. And, of course, the polar bear killed him. But you've got to design the habitats so somebody that's had too much to drink or child really can't get into these exhibits. We were smart enough to do that.
And Jim, and I'm not asking you to be critical of anybody, because yeah. Jack Hanna's here in Ohio. We like Jack Hanna. We certainly,
yeah, I can't be. I don't want to be critical of Jack.
But when he goes out, or anybody for that matter, and makes a statement like that in the media, and the way our media is today, you'll hear it 1,000 times, because it's a big story. Does that, in your opinion, harm the cause if something like this would ever happen again?
You know who we should talk to, probably? I for talking to me, because this is right down my line. But George Schaller is a behaviorist, a very well-known zoologist. But, you know, we need to start talking to people like who are real zoologists, who know animal behavior. And then we might get somewhere. But we can't have people that aren't familiar with animal behavior. It's so easy for the media to get somebody on there who will say what the media would like to hear. And we gotta learn how to handle the media. George Schaller is a behaviorist. He's worked with gorillas a lot. But I'd like to get his opinion.
I think you're right. I think maybe we should do that. I want to raise in the last few minutes we have here, Jim. In your opinion, the people who are angry that the gorilla was killed, and there are a lot of them, do they have a right to be angry?
They have a right to be angry. But we also have a right to protect the child from the gorilla. No question about that. But people do have a right. I mean, we always seem to think that we can impose upon the animal, get rid of the animal. There are people, I'm in Georgia right now, and there are people down here. We've seen 3 rattlesnakes on our property in the last 3 weeks. And there are certain people here that they won't even kill a rattlesnake. Thank goodness. A rattlesnake, if you leave them alone, there's a big enough area, they're not dangerous. So we've got to start looking at the natural world in a different sense. But it's very hard for me to say, I'm not going to judge Jack Hanna, because he's done a wonderful job of getting himself out there and known, and he can have an effect on people's attitudes. But let's see if we can't talk about the fact that it's not the animal that's hurting people. It's so rare that it's not really a factor. We have so many other things that we have to start thinking about, from driving on I-95 to bicycles to home-related accidents are extremely common. But I won't get into all that. But it is a tragedy when a child falls into an exhibit. But let's build our exhibit so that can't happen.
Now, on the flip side of that, Jim, do the parents or the people defending the child, the people who, that yes, it was right to kill the gorilla, which is basically the people who support what Jack Hanna says, are they 100% right? Are they accurate?
Well, you got to ask yourself, if your child fell in with a gorilla, what would you do? You got to do everything to save the child, there's no question about it. But you also have to be prepared. If you go to a zoo, you got to know the dangers. You got to be sure you don't let your child go over a fence and get over to a moat. You know, especially a 3 or 4 year old. The parents have to take some of the responsibility.
Jim, and let me ask you that question. You have children. If that was your child, and I understand you wouldn't have let it, you probably have a closer eye in letting it get into the cage, but if it was in there, what would you have done?
Well, if it was my child, I'd have probably jumped in the moat. and gone after and saved it, because I know how to bluff a gorilla.
Well, and that's the question, and not to be critical of the Cincinnati.
I'm a little different.
I understand, but that's the question, I think, today, that maybe many people who didn't like the gorilla being killed understand, and I certainly understand you don't want to knock the Cincinnati Zoo and you don't want to knock Jack Hanna,
right.
But just what you just said, I think, is the interesting part. You know how to bluff a gorilla. Why did nobody know how to do that?
Well, there are not too many people that know how to do that. But the point is, I've had an opportunity, even before I joined Wild Kingdom, I was running around the world and facing some pretty unpredictable situations in Africa and the Amazon and other places. But you develop a knowledge, and you know what to do. With an animal, there's something called a flight zone and an attack zone. And, you know, you can see that in lions. If you scare a lion within 13 feet of you, it's liable to come at you rather than run. But if it's a little further away than that, they'll run away from you. So I know all those things. I've had to, because, you know, my life has been at stake a few times. But I probably would have jumped into the moat. I don't know how deep that moat was, and I'm not as agile as I used to be, but I'd probably jump in there and try to bluff the gorilla, yeah.
At your age today, you would have jumped in there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm still buzzing around.
No, that wasn't, it's just, you know, the older we get, we don't move like we did when we were 30 and 40.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know,
I have bad knees anyway. I have an artificial knee, but I guarantee there's some way I could have gotten down in that moat.
So that being,
I don't know if it was it a wet moat?
I believe so.
There was water in it.
There was water in it, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That being said, as we wrap this interview up, Jim, I got to ask you this. If you were there, and just on the facts that we know, child falls in, gorilla goes over to the child, drags it up the moat, has it. No harm has come yet, but people are screaming and doing what they're doing. Would you have shot the gorilla?
If the gorilla started to... See, the biggest problem with gorillas, they'll pull on your leg or your arm, and they're so strong they could have pulled it off. And so if I'd seen any hint of danger to that little boy, I would have gone down there and bluffed the gorilla, but apparently there was no hint of danger.
Could there have been overreaction?
You know, when somebody's child is down there, the parents probably didn't know what to do, the keepers didn't know what to do. I just wonder, but here's what I wonder, if you really want to know. Why weren't they prepared? If anything happened like that, why weren't they more prepared? That's the question. Why didn't they have an emergency vehicle inside of the habitat that they could have gotten into and gone and rescued the boy? They could have used pepper spray. They could have used electric shock. But they should have that prepared when they go into a habitat like that. The zoological parks have the responsibility to make sure that nobody's hurt. But you asked me what I would have done, and I told you I would have jumped in the moat, because I'm a different kind of person. I can't expect a parent to do that.
Well, it's very interesting, because doesn't somebody have to go to the gorilla's area to feed it? And, I mean, couldn't there have been somebody who could have went down there and done something, tried to talk to it?
Well, like I said, you should have a mobile cage. You should have a electric cart with a cage around it or something that you could have gotten into and rushed in there. You have to be prepared for the stupid public to do just about anything. If you're going to have animals in an enclosure, in a city, you got to be prepared for everything.
And that being said, Jim, when you make a comment like that, though, stupid public, I know people who have seen this video, mothers, who are horrified by it.
Yeah.
Is that understandable?
Are they horrified that the parents let the child go over there?
I haven't heard that. I think horrified by the gorilla pulling the kid.
I would be horrified to see a bunch of sea parents that would let the child get away that way. But the point I'm saying is, yeah, people have a lot of fantasies about gorillas. My goodness. We judge things the way they look. And, you know, a gorilla, in all of our literature and our films, they portray danger in practically everything we read. But I also have seen gorillas that are not aggressive like that, unless it's for a reason.
And on the parting note, this is something important, Jim, I want to get in. It's also been reported, and who knows how true it is, but that the boy was saying to his parents that he wanted to, before it happened, that he wanted to go down and see the gorilla.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, that's sort of normal. We are programming our children today, even with dogs, to think that dogs are not dangerous, that they love us, that we can pet them. You know, walking up to a strange dog can also be dangerous. We need to start talking about the reality of our world instead of the fantasy. We're creating fantasy with Hollywood films, you know, with the internet. It's all fantasy. And we're the only species on the planet that can program ourselves with fantasy. We're doing a good job of that. You know, so let's change that and start talking about reality.
Jim?
And I'm going to have a group together that can talk about reality that you can come to if things like this happen.
I would love to do it. Jim, if you ever come this way, I would love to have you on live. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Jim Fowler, former host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom Zoologist, and still out there doing things for the natural world. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
On this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
And as soon as I saw that, I was already within four or five steps of him by that time. And when I saw it,